great pleasure to introduce the second of tonight's speakers, Marilyn.
Hi, my name's Marilyn and I'm an addict. It's really nice to be here. The year I've had over the last sort of 8 months, I really didn't think I was going to make it. And I will talk about it. But what I want to do is like really take a moment just to appreciate everyone being in the room, because I remember my first meeting. I came in such a broken spirit. Been to how many psychiatrists, had tried to end it how many times. The people that I used to move around with, they were sick of me. I was no longer the girl who could dress up, who could earn, who could grab for money. And what I remember when I came to that first meeting was this woman smiling at me, and she took me into the kitchen. And she was just so kind to me. And I can honestly say, I never thought that anyone was going to be kind to me again. And I don't remember hearing much at that first meeting, but that's what stuck with me. And what I will say to people is, however your personality type is, there's a place for you in NA, and you will help someone in NA. It just makes me laugh. Someone said to me, you best make it exciting. I don't want to be falling asleep. And that person gave me so much help when I came in. Because I was so shut down, I couldn't do the coffee thing because I couldn't hold a conversation. But they used to say to me, you going to a meeting tomorrow? What meeting are you going to? Go to that one. And because they said it, I went to that one. I needed someone to give me that type of direction. For someone else, it might have been a little bit too much, but it worked well for me. And just the various people in that I've met in meetings, I didn't realise the woman who took me to my first convention was going to be my sponsor 14 years later. And if I say colour or sexuality or things like that, or class, I say it because I love how diverse NA is. It touches my heart how rich it is. So, a gay guy I met who was homeless, and I said, you can stay at my house. Him and his partner are still in my life up until today. They are my daughter's godfather. She classes them as uncle. It's given us this family. And the homeless woman that we used to see outside of the Camden meeting, and we'd give her money and we'd give her literature, and she found her way to NA. And then it turned out that she'd been part of NF, and she had the racist tattoos on her, and she asked me to be her sponsor. And the thing is, I'm from Leeds, and the football fans were murderous to us. I remember having to run the gauntlet and all the racism chanting. And there was a certain type of person I would sort of keep my distance from. But me being her sponsor and hearing her story and hearing what it was about for her, that chance to fit in, that chance to belong. And it was like, do you know what? I get it. I really get it. And if it wouldn't have been for NA, I would never have had that experience. I wouldn't have been able to have that type of understanding. A little bit about me, the background. I come from Leeds, Chapel Town, working class black area. My dad was a pimp. He ran gambling houses, bought drawing to the country, and he ran working girls. So I grew up watching women having to sell themselves and graft. And I'll be honest, I weren't looking forward to growing up to be a woman. You know, it really dented me. And I went from this really violent, sexualized childhood, and I was sexually abused, into this. I was brought up in care, And I left Cair and I came to London. And I recreated what I knew. And what I knew was madness, chaos. And I really thought my life was going to be like that. I was lucky enough that somehow I must have had a brain, so I was able to... I went into the caring profession. But I think my trying to help people was trying to give people what I really wanted. So it worked for quite a long time, but it was always going to go tits up because I was trying to battle a job with an addiction. And I had some of the greatest times while I was using. And the drugs worked for a really, really long time. And then paranoia kicked in. And instead of it just being touches of paranoia, it started staying a lot longer. And my life just changed. And I thought, if I have an image of me, it was like, if you imagine a firefly, and it's like, it's really bright when it's out there on the scene, and slowly it was dying. And then at the end, I just have this image of, if you just imagine this lights off, and every so often there'd be a little spark, and then off. Came into NA, and I just couldn't believe that there was another way. I remember hearing people's stories and really connecting with it. And my first sponsor, starting to do the work with her, and I really got it quite quickly. And I think I am grateful that I came in so broken, unable to think, because it meant that I was really able to take direction. And I sort of see it as the Camden community, because that's where I got clean, and I got clean just in the rooms. That Camden community was really strong. We had what they called in the day the crackhead meeting. Do you know what I mean? It was like a crack den. It was dirty. It was broken down. You'd probably get flea bites, you know. But it's like we went, and you were there for one reason only. Because you wanted to get clean, do you know what I mean? You weren't there for who you were going to see or what you looked like. That was it. We got tight. Certain people really, they just stick out in my mind. I started moving around with a guy who'd done a 10-year sentence. He'd converted to Buddhism, vegetarian. Do you know what? From the world that I came from, to meet someone like him, we just did our meetings with each other, and he was the first person who, he didn't want to get in my knickers. He was just going to be a friend to me. And when I came into the rooms, I was so feared up. It was either bravado or feared up, do you know what I mean? And he just helped me to be. He just gave me that thing of acceptance, and it was major. Yeah. So I got about being powerless. I'm going to flit in and out of the steps. For me, the step three was about having hope, but something significant happened at that time as well, because the girls who I used to go round with, who were going to be tight forever, you know, you're bona fide, and they dropped me when I couldn't earn. One of them got ill, and I was able to go to the hospital and just be there. And it weren't like we were going to move round with each other again, we weren't going to be tight, but it was my way of like actually saying goodbye. And it was like I was able just to clean my heart and get rid of all the anger and that resentment and that expectation. They couldn't be there for me. They had nothing to give. I didn't pick friends for their kind, compassionate nature when I was using. So it was like, let's get it real. The step four, for me, and it's interesting because I'm working with someone now, and she's saying, it just feels different for me, she goes, from what people are saying, because people say about the step four, what she's hearing is my part, your part, you know. And for me, what I got from step four was the chance to, if as addicts, our pendulums can swing really off key, one thing goes wrong and the world's ending, you know, or no one ever likes you. It was able to get that pendulum in the middle, yeah? So that was, that's what step four did for me. It was able just to get a clearer picture about my life. It helped me to take responsibility for what was mine. But for me personally, the major thing it gave me was an understanding about my belief system about me. In the step forward, it was says, what was your belief? What was your motivation? I was able to see, from being abused as a child, my belief was, I'm not good enough, I'm dirty, no one will ever want me, I'm crap. So whatever situation comes up in my life, I can write loads about my part, your part and all that, but it's the same motivation behind it, do you know what I mean? So for me, being in recovery is about changing my belief system about me to, I'm all right, I am loved. I'm not a terrible person, because if I can operate from that stance, then I don't have to get defensive from you. I don't have to start judging you. I don't have to be better than you. Those other, the externals and the narrative of the situation, they start to change. And that was one of the biggest things step four gave for me. I worked my way through the steps, and I've done the steps a few times, twice through the green and gold and other ways. What I'll talk about. So last year, I can't remember, no it was. I guess I'm raising this about my perception on step three, actually, how it can change. A friend of mine relapsed on prescription drugs, and it took them out the door, and their using and their decline was worse than it had originally been. They relapsed, they came back to meetings, we started talking, they went abroad, and I've had the same phone number since I came into recovery. So I am used to people I've bumped into at meetings, they'll ring me 5 years later, hello. So I'm used to that. So I get a text saying, thank you for all your support. It really meant a lot to me. Just want to tell you that I'm clean. And it was like, I got that. And at that point, so we're talking last year, my life was really busy. So I'd been studying for 3.5 years. I was meant to have that. I was at placement. I'm really busy with my daughter and activities. So it was this really full life. But I think deep down, there was a little bit of a little bit. See, I'm trying to justify it. Deep down, there was an emptiness to it. You can be busy, but not satisfied. So I do remember when I got this text, I remember thinking, I responded, I said, oh, that is really good. And it's given me so much joy. And so we started texting, and so we started speaking, and they told me they were doing step three, and I went, oh, that's really good. We'll speak about it. It will make me revisit it. And then we talked, and then I thought, that's it. That's what's been missing from my life. I've forgotten the principles and the practice of step three. Sometimes when you think you've got it going on, Yeah. The long and short of it was, somehow, I started feeling really close to this person. They were moving back to England. The week before they came, you know that saying, people for a reason, a season, or a lifetime? And they asked, what did I think ours was going to be? And what I have to tell you in all this, I kept this a secret from people, because if they would have been in England, I don't know if I would have been having the same level of dialogue. They were abroad. They were still a newcomer. Yeah. So there was guilt about that. But because I'd never said, I fancy her, and they'd never said that to me, you know, they'd asked me something, and I gave this long waffle response. And they said, I think you like me. So they came for the convention. They came the first day. And they'd become a really, really big part of my life. My daughter was so excited they were coming. And I stayed with them the Thursday night. Friday was like, I didn't have sex. I want you all to know that. See, the guilt's still there. Yeah. So it was like the Friday, that can't happen again. It got really boundaried up. The closing share at the convention, I don't know if people remember it, but she touched on the inappropriate relationship. Mm. And he looked at me and he said, I knew you loved me. He goes, and I didn't like what you were saying. I couldn't really get it, but when she spoke, I got it. Middle of the week, it's late one night, and he's supposedly been out at a meeting, and he goes, your book, get it, because I work from the basic line text, basically like that, but with numbers. He goes, can we read step three? I said, yeah, it doesn't matter, you know, if someone asks, you always say yeah. And we read step three, and I said to him, go on, sign it. I said, you know you want to. The next day, when I came back home, I found him dead. And it broke my heart. I felt, there was shock. I just couldn't understand why. I couldn't understand that I was now going to have to do the phone call. His dad was coming on the Friday, and I had to tell him, you're not coming to help your son get his flat. He's dead. Something happened with my relationship with the God that I had. And pretty soon after, my obsession returned. And you know, like when you hear people talk and, oh yeah, my addiction comes up in other areas. And I'd been one of those people who said stuff like that. The addictions that I've rose up while I've been in recovery have been nothing compared to the addiction that brought me into these rooms. I took it for absolute granted, being relieved of the obsession to use. And I'm coming up to, then I was coming up to my 14th year, and the obsession was just on me. So I go to the doctors, not sleeping. He gives me 2 Valium because obviously he's got my history. I did find myself, I visit that friend because I know she's got loads of tablets. She wouldn't give me anything. It was by the grace of God, which is ironic I say that, by the routine and by meetings that I got through it. I'd forgotten how fucking powerful it is and how difficult it was to keep it in the moment. And some of the things that I'd said to other people, I now think, get a fucking grip. But the cliches do work. And the irony is, a week to the day of him dying, I went to a meeting and I do feel like I was shut down in that meeting. The person, it was a raised hands meeting, and he didn't want to pick me, that's fine. And I said, excuse me, like, really, can I speak? He told me to wait my turn. I walked out the meeting, someone followed me, brought me back. He still didn't want to pick me. I got in like at the very end and tried to explain to him, I can't be at home. I need to be here. I'm fighting for my life right now. Mm-hmm. I left that meeting and I thought, fuck NA. Fuck fucking NA. Do you know what I mean? And that's when I realised how badly my addict was on me, because it wanted to latch onto anything. I rang up my sponsor and she let me fuck NA, do you know what I mean? Come on, get it all out. And the very next day, I'm back at my home group, do you know what I mean? And I think that's, that's when you realise, I just think it's really, really important to have a home group, you know, because they're the people who fundamentally, they've realised the difference in your sharing and how you walk into a meeting, and they're the ones who create space for you and carry you. And the fellowship really carried me. I rang my friend up and he was the one who came, him and his partner came, and they were the ones who stripped the bed in. And I was going, I've got to get it out of the house, got to get it out of the house. I thought I'd never go downstairs in my house again. And another woman, she came and she stayed and she took my daughter to school for me. The love I got was phenomenal. And the roles people take, this newcomer who I'd gone to a day's convention when I didn't really want to go, but I went and I had fun. He supported me so much. And this female had asked me to be her sponsor. And at that point, I wasn't working the steps. So I said to her, no, I can't. And so she went off, she got someone else. And about 2 months, she came back to me. Can you be my sponsor? And in that, like, midway, I'd actually got my sponsor and said yes to work in the steps. But it sounds so silly that in my broken space, I needed a newcomer to tell me to start reworking the steps. And the way life turns out, I travel to hers, I travel an hour to hers every Wednesday. I'm with her for 2 hours and then I travel the hour back. And it's perfect that it happens on a Wednesday, so I don't get caught up in what happened. It's like I can be of service, you know. And that's what I say when I say there's a place and a role for everybody in NA, there really is. I am grateful for when the newcomer or whoever rings me up. I'm a single mum, there's times I can't get to meetings. no one is bothering me. I am available. You know what I mean? And I just think if you're struggling to make those phone calls, just do it anyway. Yeah, that's all I can say, because you don't know what you're giving someone else. You don't have to know what you're going to say. We normally find something. And if we can't, I can always meet you and we can read a passage of the book. Because that's what someone used to do to me, you know? I do have a love for that book. Because like I said, when I came in, I couldn't socialise. And I met someone, he was a character, and he used to always walk around with the book and he used to ask people, can you help me read? Can you help me read? So it was like, do you know what? I can do that. And then I got into, I mean, there was a few of us at one point, we would walk around with our NA books, yeah, and people called us the God Squad, you know, yeah. And I mean, I was really one of those people. Do you want to come to my house for dinner? Well, we have to read a passage of the book first, you know. So I've got my books and they've got all these different signatures in. But it's like, I didn't know how to socialise. But I really knew how to do that. And it gave me a great awareness of what's on offer. And then there was a bit where I took it a little bit too far, you know, because now I think I know the book. And then I hit the NA wall. And the NA wall for me is that space where you think you've got it going on and you think you know lots. And when I hit that space, I couldn't share. All I could do was quote. But that's all right. And to anyone who hits the NA wall, it's all right, because normally what happens, life gets painful, your back's against the wall, and you have to come and really humble yourself or just cry for the hour, do you know what I mean? And it starts flowing again. It's been an absolute honour working with sponsees, it really has, like, that watching another individual grow and then seeing them work with others, seeing people come in and like just take off with doing service and never stopping. You know, there's lots of this that I don't know how it works, don't really need to know, but I do have a great belief in the steps, sponsorship and service. And even if you don't want to do front house service, there's always something you can do. Even when you really think you're useless, there's something you can do. Do you know what I mean? And for me, my self-esteem grew in these rooms. Being in these rooms enabled me to go out and do interviews. Enabled me to start learning again. And it has given me such a gratitude that I never thought I'd have. And I'm not one, I've never made loads of money in NA, still don't drive. But you know what, I've never had a hungry day. I've been and I've visited some amazing places, and I really have got amazing, amazing people in my life. And the for a really long time, I used to love pub. I mean, I still love it, I just haven't been actively doing it. But my service was public information. That was my thing. They're the ones, I always think we're H&I's ugly sister or something, because not many people talk about PA, do you know what I mean? They're just not glam. But public information are the ones who let the services know what NA's about. So it's like when certain police used to see your face all the time and they don't see it. And it's like sometimes we need to go to police stations and say, the reason why you're not seeing them is because they got clean and they're not offending no more. Oh, we need to let doctors know that this is what's changed. You know, like I was coming to your surgery all the time and I was slitting my wrist and I could never cope with life. Found a way to cope. NA's shown me a way to cope. So it's really important that people know we exist. For me, I really believe an NA poster should be in every bloody chemist, every doctor's surgery, and every library. I really do. And that is something that us, as a group, can make possible. I will end with this. I just think we're amazing fucking people, I really do. The work that we have to do, how honest we have to be about ourselves and have interactions with others. We go places that no one else really has to. And I think if you do the suggested things and you make NA the foundation, the safety net of your life, we'll always be okay. Thank you.